Welcome to A Voice of a People with Linda Sims here on WWGH 107.1 FM radio. Also streaming live on the web, WWGH1071.com. And don't forget the www, sorry. Also, you have the opportunity to download free app called TuneIn on any electronic device and search WWGH. Now, at any time during our show, if you would like to call in, please call 740-383-9944. It may be a show that you would like to ask my guest questions or connect with myself, or maybe you have something to add to or take away from our conversation today. I have a thought for you today, and it goes like this. There are over 7 billion people on Earth, and you're going to let one person ruin your day? Don't. Don't give anyone that much power over you, over your life. And sometimes, you know, we just move out the way too soon or just lay down and let people walk all over us. But we can also move away from those type of people and have, you know, assurance that we are important in this world today, no matter what other people have to think about us. So, I did share earlier, those who faithfully support A Voice of a People, again, starting with Victory and Truth Ministries, Bishop J.C. Church, Bucyrus, Ohio, address 485 State Route 4 South. Also, Chappie's Hydraulic Hose Specialist, LLC, 309 Suite A, North Main Street. Logos Christian Ministries, Pastor Jackie Peterson, 582 Lee Street, here in Marion, Ohio. Or www.logoschristianministries.com. Inspect Ohio, LLC, your one-call home inspection company. That is in LaRue, Ohio. Okay, thank you once again for tuning in to A Voice of a People. I will now introduce you to my guest, Barbara Jagger Burney. How are you today?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm great. I'm so glad you came. I know the intensity has been great and the build-up to being on the show, so hopefully you will feel at ease. Like I said, I make enough blunders for everybody else that come on the show. Sometimes, you know, it depends on how it is, but I've learned to laugh at myself and keep it going, keep it moving.
Exactly, and I'm very comfortable. You have really made me comfortable here. I like that thought for the day. That is powerful. Yes. You know, that was very powerful.
Well, good,
you know,
good.
Who are, you know, all these people, you know, say, oh, poor me.
That's true, so, and you allow one person to ruin your day. Ruin your
life. Right.
You know, it can get deeper than that, you know.
And, you know, that's the way the enemy sets in, and so many times he always uses other people.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, we think sometimes he uses circumstances. Well, circumstances come and they go.
Yes, they do.
You know?
Yes, they do.
But sometimes people just kind of get right there under your fifth rib. But then if we'll just pray for them.
Yeah.
And not let them ruin our day. So it's all in a matter of, you know, learning.
Yes.
Well,
I want your biography. Tell us a little bit about yourself. I wanted those who listen faithfully to A Voice of a People to know that this is Barbara's first visit to the show. Let's give her a clap.
Thank you.
I'm so glad that she's here. And not only that, she is a writer and a poet.
Yes.
And I'm so honored to have you here.
Thank you.
So you want to tell us a little bit about yourself, Barbara?
Well, okay. I was born in Michigan. Yay, go Michigan. I know I've lost some of you now, but that's okay. You'll come back. But my grandfather was a poet. My grandmother was a poet. And I found out as I got older, poetry is just laced through my family. Mm-hmm. And songwriters, I have written songs and poets. I've written a book, and I had another book about 6-8 chapters into the book, my computer crashed. So that was a tragedy that I really try to get over, but mm-hmm. I will do it again. When I was in the seventh grade, Mr. Slauson was my English teacher.
Okay.
And he, you know, he, how they give you assignments to write and figure out this and figure out that, you know. Right. He is the one that recognized my ability. Jeff Slauson, if you're listening, kudos to you. I owe you a lot. I've never forgotten that. I've been writing and filling out books since that day.
Isn't that something?
Yes. And I give him credit for seeing that in me, but all the rest of the credit goes to my Heavenly Father.
Okay. Amen. You know, amen.
It's all to God be the glory. And I also play the piano, but I play by ear. I don't read notes. And that is another talent that, you know, God gave me.
Right.
And I give him all the glory. And my theme song is actually To God Be the Glory.
Okay.
That is my theme song.
Okay.
So I owe him everything, just absolutely everything I owe to the King of Kings. So I
now
write.
See, at our last location, we even had a piano.
Oh, okay.
And I was thinking about that. I said, I think she told me that she played the piano, you know, like, yeah. Wow, it's at the old location. We couldn't bring it in. It wasn't enough room.
Right,
here.
I can see. Yeah.
It would have been so neat, though.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. So, I did read your book. I'm trying to think what the name of it
he
is.
Addeth
He Addeth No Sorrow. That was so, what led you to that title?
I don't know.
Okay.
I really don't know. I really can't tell you. But in reading the book, you can see.
Yes.
You know, you can see the title in the book.
Right.
So many times we have sorrow in our life.
That's true.
You know, life is laced with sorrow. I mean, if it's, you know, call me and let me know if you've got a life that's
sorrowful free.
That we do have sorrow in this world because, mm-hmm. you know, the enemy, of course, is alive and well in this world.
Mm-hmm.
And we do have sorrow. But when you ingest the gospel,
mm-hmm.
when you take it in, when you pull it in mm-hmm. through the Word of God, it's, I don't want to say magical because the world uses the word, you know, the magic for a dark thing, but it is powerful, and it's something that we can't do.
Right.
You know, we can't change our circumstances many times. We can't.
Right.
We can't change it. Even our thought patterns, Linda, we can't always change.
Of course not.
But we can say, Lord, you know, there are so many scriptures that are in the Bible. You know, one of my favorite ones was, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things.
Yes.
And I have to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I have to do that because I don't have the power to just sit down and say, well, you know, this is a good route to do. This is a good thing to think about, you know. But when we lace our life with God's word, he addeth no sorrow.
Right.
You know, we have sorrow.
Right.
But he has a way of taking our sorrow and giving us beauty for ashes,
mm-hmm.
the oil of joy for mourning.
Yes.
So, and in that book, there, you know, there was a lot of sorrow.
Yes,
at
yes.
first, you know.
Now, that the theme of this book is around the last days, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Okay, like Revelation time.
Right. Well, right. Like I put in the forward of it, it was not meant to be prophetic, you know, but it was my idea of how things could evolve and
okay.
be
okay.
in the last days.
Right.
So, but then the book is kind of short, and
but it's powerful though.
It's
a very powerful instrument, I think, you know, and it held my attention,
did
even
it?
Though it was short. Yeah. Because I wanted to know what was going to happen next.
Right,
you know? And,
right.
And then when you start out, you're talking about Israel. God, why Israel? And I know people, a lot of people say, well, why not Israel? What's so special about Israel?
Right, right.
You know, right. And then you want to read on and find out a little bit more about that. And even though it wasn't prophetic, I see today. I see today. And what we're living through and going through today. Like you said, sorrow, disappointments in life, you know, unexpected turns, you know, go to this corner. Do I take a left or a right? Might have to keep going straight, you know,
exactly.
Because there's so much around us that's going on that we have no control over. Like you said, you know, we just really do not have any control over a lot of things that are happening. So, and a lot of people may want to know too, why not Israel?
Right. Right.
And then you also said now the United States is in a backslidden state as a nation.
And that was written several years ago.
Now, how do you feel about that today, looking
at
the
United
States? Oh, my
goodness. It's just true. Well, I mean, we are disgusting. I love my country. Don't ever think I'm not patriotic, because I am, and yes, I vote.
Yes.
And I am very patriotic, and I pray for my president, and I pray for my country. But we are a backslidden wretch.
Mm-hmm.
We are. I mean, we're killing our babies by the millions, mm-hmm. you know. And I was thinking the other day, I don't want to get off this onto this soapbox, but I was thinking, you know, about abortion. And you just picture a baby, just, you know, just hold this little teeny tiny thing in your hands and picture the one that's being ripped apart.
Right.
Out of the womb, from the womb, and some of them being sold. But anyway, yes, I knew that when I wrote that book,
mm-hmm.
I knew that America was backsliding. Now it's so backslidden.
Right.
We have accomplished that task. We are there, and it is so sad. I want to. I wasn't sure what.
Since you brought up the subject, babies. Do you mind reading the one about your baby girl?
Okay. Well, that's another thing about myself. I have two children. I have a son. He's just turned 39. Don't tell him I told you all that, because he wasn't wanting to talk about it. But he's a truck driver, and I'm very, very proud of him. I have a daughter, and she is just getting ready to turn 38. Don't tell her I said that either. But she is the executive director of Voice of Hope. I'm very, very proud of her. The first poem I'm going to read is about my little girl. And I don't know how many writers you know, but we tend to, or at least I do, I'll say it like the old fella says, I write what I is.
And what you feel, right?
And what I feel.
Which is you.
And I said some, I have said before, there's times that we all get in the dumps, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, here again, you can call me. If you've never been in the dumps, call me. But we do get in the dumps, and I said there's a lot of times that I don't write because we don't need another Edgar Allan Poe.
Right.
You know,
right.
I don't want to write the Raven again, because we do write what we feel.
That's true.
You know, as a writer, you even in fiction, my book is fiction. But there's a lot of it that is real.
Right on.
In that
right
book.
On the money. Like yeah, right
and,
now.
Right. I mean, yeah, I used my family.
Yes, yes.
And I'll tell you a funny thing about that in a minute.
Okay.
If you remind me.
Now she's going to read the poem about her daughter, because she did open up that door about how many babies are being slaughtered.
Right.
You know, with people who are very indecisive and make rash decisions. You know, sometimes we do things without really thinking, and we even act on our feelings,
yes,
right?
Yes, we do.
So this may touch some young mother's heart who's expecting and maybe have the wrong thought.
Right. Right.
Or father who may be pushing the young lady to, well, we don't have time for this.
Right.
This is the wrong time, and may want to in that life. So could you go ahead and give us that poem?
This poem is very true. Every bit of it is very, very true. I mean, it happened. It's called Fix It, Mommy. So precious and tiny, she came to us there, her every need tended with love's gentle care. I asked God to guide her and make her path straight, and always protect her from a worldly estate. So soon she was rolling and crawling around, and Big Brother was eager his love to abound. In reckless enjoyment, he broke her new toys, and soon she was wondering, why did God make boys? He opened her presents and ate all her food, but they still were roommates and best friends for good. Oh, Mommy, dear Mommy, he pulled off her head. Then I had to explain, her dolly's not dead. A broken-hearted sissy, Big Brother went to school. Each day she'd sit waiting on her little stool. And when the great day finally came that she was old enough, I took her hand and walked her there to sign my big girl up. Oh, what a joyous day it was for her, that is to say. But deep inside a mommy's heart, a sadness came to stay. She proudly squared her shoulders back and got on that big bus, while Mom and Dad just stood and stared in disbelief, I guess. When she got sick, it seemed I knew the remedy for that, until we found what made her sick was her favorite little cat. We dealt with problems one by one as new ones would arise, and hoped each time we knew enough to understand her cries. Yes, Mommy's used to fixing things and turning on the lights. She's always used to being there in the darkest of the nights. And when you cry, I'll be right there so you won't be alone. You know that Mommy's always care and keep you safe at home. But now that she is bigger, the choices are all hers. Oh, God, I can't fix it for her. You see, this time it's yours. Dear Lord, it's not so easy. I want you now to know. I'll take my hands off somehow. Oh, yes, I'm letting go. I lay at the altar, my sweet little girl, and ask you to guide her through life's stormy whirl. God, help me be patient, loving, and kind, and help me to remember she's not really mine.
She belongs to someone else. She's just been lent to you.
Exactly.
And every other parent that have children, it's not yours. Isn't that something? That is so powerful and profound. I love that. And the letting go.
That's hard.
Isn't that so hard to do?
That's hard.
Wow. That is so hard to do, let go of your children.
In fact, she just experienced that. My granddaughter turned 13, and she's in a Christian school, and she just went away to competition.
Oh, did she? Okay.
And my little girl felt that mommy.
I bet she did.
Yes, she did. And it's not easy.
Oh, no.
It's not easy. If you don't mind, I think I'll do the one that I wrote for my son.
Yes, I'd love to hear that.
I don't really know why, but I've never written much about my son.
And what I was thinking, the difference between a boy and a girl. Now, you're going to read that to us, and we should be able to feel the distinction or hear it.
Right.
Okay, you go ahead.
Okay. As I said earlier, my son drives truck. He owns his own truck now, and I'm very, very proud of him. But the other day, when I was putting things together to read, and I thought, you know what, I'm going to write something about Joey. So his name's Joey. And here it is. My trucker, ships, planes, trains, then my firstborn lives his dream. He wasn't athletic, wouldn't think to swing a bat. To make him run, you'd have to chase him or have him catch his favorite cat. His schooling was atrocious. He went to games to kiss the girls. High-powered trucks and pretty faces was pretty much his dreamy world. His best friends were always truckers long before he could drive, but they taught him like no other what he needed to survive. Now, from my lofty view of motherhood, mixed emotions filled my breast. Seems a trucker's life a bit too crude and maybe not his very best. His tenacity to learn the trucker's life, his zeal to know each part, with great desire to do it right, I have to say, it won my heart. My boy became a trucking man, and I couldn't be more proud. 18 wheels throughout the land, in the sun and in the cloud. Many wonders have wowed this mother on land and air and sea, but one has thrilled me like no other, my view from my son's passenger seat.
Wow.
He came home one day.
He's so much different than your daughter.
He came home one day, and he hadn't been driving very long, and he said, Mom, he said, go with me. I'm like, yeah, right. No, honey, I don't think so. Because he was only 19.
Oh, wow.
And I'm like, you know, here's this old woman. You don't want your mother tagging along. Mm-hmm. And he did.
Okay.
We had the grandest time. And he's been on the road for close to 20 years now.
Okay.
And just last summer, when I was down south, I took another ride with him in his own truck.
Okay.
And we went to Virginia, and it just was just, there's just nothing like it.
Mm.
You know, when you're able to put yourself, of course, I never take myself out of God's care,
right.
But I was basically in my son's care.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
And he never scared me. He never has.
Okay.
And he's just, I'm very, very proud of him. He's a very conscientious trucker. He just gave his life to the Lord.
Did he?
Yes, him and his girlfriend both about going on 6 months ago, I think
okay.
it is.
Okay, okay.
Prayed and prayed so many years for him, and he came to the Lord, and he's so much different. And now both my children are serving God, and, you know, hey, I'm a happy camper.
God is faithful. He is
He's
so
faithful. He is
now,
so
was
faithful.
It between the two, the boy and the girl, was it easier to let the boy go than it was the daughter, or did you have the same struggle?
They left at the same time.
Did they?
Just basically, yeah.
Hmm.
They're only 14 months apart.
Oh, okay. Well, uh-huh. They're close.
So, tough and rough.
So you suffered it all at once. I got you.
Okay. I'm a mommy from the word go, and it was tough, but God's grace sufficient.
Yes,
you know,
yes.
And it's been a good life. It's been a good life. So.
I asked that question because I had all girls. So I didn't have that struggle with
right.
the boy, but
right.
I wanted a boy so bad.
Mothers, it's been my experience that mothers are typically closer to their sons.
Mm-hmm, I believe that.
You know, and Joey and I have always been very, very close. Now, I'm close with Barbie.
Right.
But girls, you know, girls have to have their... I watched Barbara do what I'm calling her Barbie, and she's going to jump all over me when she listens to this. But I wouldn't let Mom show me how to do anything.
Really?
And when I got married and didn't know how to make gravy, you know, I'm like, really? You know?
What was I thinking, right?
And yeah, zip, 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 take me back, you know.
Right,
I'll listen.
Right.
But I think it's typical of girls, you know. They just don't, you know, I can do this. I got this. You know.
Yeah, right.
But raising my children was the happiest days of my life. I loved being pregnant. I did.
Okay.
I mean, I just loved being pregnant.
Okay.
And I loved raising my children. And it was, I had to learn to live all over again.
Okay.
I just say that. Because, you know, then I was alone completely because, you know. Their father left the situation too. So,
many of us have.
Yeah.
Many of us women. Seems like sometimes we just get the short end of the stick, no matter what.
But,
and we're left with those children to raise.
Yeah.
You know.
No, he stayed till they were raised.
Well, that was good.
Yeah,
that was good.
Yeah,
just think
to,
of the women that
have to hand it to
go
him.
On their own.
Exactly.
You know?
Oh, I know. Don't know how they did. I want to, before we run out of time, I want to read about my mockingbird.
Yes.
This is another poem that is absolutely the truth. We lived in Chesapeake, Ohio, down southern Ohio, and out in the country and up on a hill. And we had a telephone pole that wasn't used in our backyard, and this bird, it was a mockingbird, and he would sit up there, and he would just jump straight up in the air and flippy and floppy's wings come back down on that telephone pole. Just give me a show every day.
And just tell our listeners how big is a mockingbird. You said a mockingbird, right?
A mockingbird. Okay. Mockingbird's about the size of a dove, maybe. Okay. It's not. They're not real big, but kind of like the size of a dove.
Let's hear it.
But this is, I call it summer love.
Okay.
It says, I fell in love with a mockingbird that came around my house each spring. He'd always sit atop a telephone pole, and for hours to me he'd sing. I tell you this, the owl is wise, but not so wise as he, for all he does is hoot a while and blink his great big eyes. The mockingbird would sing a while, as if he were a jay. He'd jump and squawk and make me smile. He did so love to play. So many songs he had to sing, yes, he could sing them all. From the canary's trill to the whippoorwill's ring, I listened till summer was gone. His performances were special songs, and they were always done just right. The only way he did me wrong, he left without saying goodbye. I did miss him.
Yeah,
I did miss him.
He got you all turned on, then he left you.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. He came back I think it was one. I don't know, but he did come back a summer, maybe two, and then he didn't. So,
nature.
Yeah.
Nature.
Yes.
Mockingbird.
Now, I kind of want to turn the table here a little bit. Anything that I do, I want to glorify God.
Amen.
You know, I mean, I'm not about writing, you know, stuff that funny, or I'm not against funny, but so many things are just so dirty and stuff, and I just want anything that I do to have a message to it.
Right.
I want to glorify God, but I also want it to help somebody.
Of course.
You know, there must be a message in it. And I had never heard of, there probably had been many, but I had never heard a poem written about Judas Iscariot.
No, I haven't.
And I did.
Okay. So we got to hear this.
This is, it's called Uneven Tide.
Oh, okay.
Judas, I have walked with you. We sat at meat today. We oft-times shared our heavenly tunes as ere we knelt to pray. The hungry crowd you helped me feed as I blessed and brake the bread. There was no thought of gain or greed when the thousands there were fed. We sailed together, side by side, shipmates, there were we. We traveled o'er uneven tide. You watched me calm the sea. You brought me lame and deaf and dumb and marveled at my touch. You listened to my praises sung by those who needed much. You dipped your bread in the cup with me. I saw you look away. You kissed my cheek so tenderly before they led me away. The 30 pieces of silver clutched tightly in your fist was given to deliver me to the chief priest's list. Condemned I stood before them all, the sinless Son of God. Your sin on me that day did fall before the angry mob. Oh, Judas, I would have forgiven you even after your kiss of death. I loved you with a love that's true, though betrayal burned in your breast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a story that was hard to grasp also. A true story.
Yes.
How he just gave up our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, you know, as if he was a common person. But it was prophesied.
Right.
It had to come to pass.
Well, in the biblical account of it, it speaks about, you know, there at the Last Supper, and Jesus told him to do what he had to do quickly, and it tells, you know, that Satan entered Judas's heart.
That's true.
So it's and real quick, this goes back, kind of clinging on to the book. It's not, it has nothing to do with the book, but it's kind of in time.
Okay.
And I think you'll catch on.
Okay.
It's called Devil's Lullaby. Linda's eyes just got big. Just go to church on Sunday morning, if you please. you must get ready for Monday, so stay home and take your ease. The evening service is too long, and you must get your rest. You know they'll sing the same old song, so Uncle Billy does his best. We carry our Bibles and count 'em, too. It all looks very nice. Why, the attendance jumped to 72, and I brought visitors twice. The preacher pushes Wednesday nights. He says we should be there to sing and pray. It's only right that our testimonies we share. But Wednesday is a special day. Even doctors go home at noon. So I'll just sit at home and say, I'll worship in my room. The church is sleeping in, and just in time, you see, there are no converts now to win and no souls to be set free. The preacher is still preaching. I faintly hear his voice. He said something about searching and making some kind of choice. Oh, I'm too tired to listen now. Well, I've heard it all before, and by his grace I'll get in somehow. What's that? The closing of a door? Oh, I hear someone shouting. What do they mean, wake up? Why, whoever thought that doubting would cause such an awful fuss? Why do you wait was the question. Never give up the reply. And oh, did he ever mention that you must be prepared to die? The altar call is now being given, but I'm just too sleepy to move. Maybe tomorrow I'll miss heaven, but I'm just too sleepy to move. We're there.
That's why there are so many churches closing their doors, and on Sunday mornings there's barely anyone there. They're too busy.
We're there.
They don't see the urgency, the need.
No.
They don't even see the want that fulfills them. They should have a want for.
They should have a want.
The fulfilling.
What's that want filled up with now, though? Don't let me get on my soapbox.
Get on your soapbox a minute.
Soapboxes, TV.
Yeah.
Programs that, you know, drive-through church, you know. Oh, well, I'll read later, you know. I'll have some time with Lord later. I don't have time to go to church. Mm-hmm. And even when you do, you sit there and look at your watch, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, it's scary. No, not everybody's like that, but it does happen. And it's happening more and more. Okay, this is dedicated to you.
Oh, okay. This, wow.
I just tell our audience, I met Linda at church, and she's a beautiful, lovely Christian. She's an altar minister at our church, and I think an awful lot of her. Had good times with her. She's a night owl like I am, so so she gets 5 stars right off the bat. This is called Friendship. I have a friend so dear to me, he knows my every need. He leads me when I cannot see, and he hears me when I plead. He gives us rain and sunshine, too, and blesses our path with flowers. When winter's snow comes glistening through, we're reminded of his power. For life and health and peace within, I thank him day by day, for a heart of love that's free from sin and joy along the way. Some pleasures last a little while, so soon they fade away. We heap up treasures in a pile to watch it all decay. There is a special gift from God above, a friendly smile and heartfelt love for others to enjoy. You see, my friend, you are that gift God sent to me with care. Your kindness gives my heart a lift, as true friendship we now share. That's dedicated to Linda Sims.
Well, thank you. Thank you for that. That is so sweet. So, so sweet. I, as you say, you know, I've given my life to Christ.
Yes.
You know, and I depend on him every second of the day to lead me and guide me.
Exactly.
And to keep me humble, most of all.
Yeah.
You know, and a lot of times, you know, we can get too high. And he has to bring us back down, you know. So
he's faithful to do that.
Yes, he is.
He's very faithful. He's very faithful
yes,
to do is. That.
And like you started out, what a friend we have in Jesus.
Yep.
What a friend. we have in him. He said, I call you friends.
I call you friends, yeah.
You know, and we're talking about God himself, yeah. You know.
Isn't that amazing?
Yes.
I mean, I've never been one to gush over celebrities.
Yeah, yeah.
And I've never been one to say, oh, I want to shake his hand. Mm-hmm. Now, this is the first and only president I've ever really wanted to go see.
Okay.
I really would like to see Donald Trump. I'm this is not political, but I just really like Donald Trump.
Okay.
And I like what he's doing. But I'm not a celebrity gusher.
Right.
I want to see Jesus.
That's my stance.
I want to see Jesus.
That's my stance, yes, no matter.
See Jesus. But I'm so thankful for the Christians. Mm-hmm. And I don't say that glibly. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of people that call themselves Christians, but when I can sit beside somebody and they worship and you see their life and what they do, and that's what calls me, mm-hmm, friend.
Right.
That's where I sandwich.
Yes.
My, you know, me. Mm-hmm. That's where I, you know, that's the kind of people I want to be with. That's the kind of people I want to sit and talk to till 11:30 at night, you know?
Right.
But that's...
Because he's always there. We can talk to him anytime.
He's always there.
A friend of mine said, I want to have the type of relationship Moses had with God. And it's like, okay, now he lives in you.
Exactly.
How much closer can you get?
Exactly.
You know? Well,
exactly.
I want to be able to walk past people and they get healed, like, was it Paul? No, Peter did.
Peter.
You know,
mm-hmm.
I'm thinking, you know, like, wow. But he lives in you.
Right.
You do.
Right.
And I think a lot of it has to do with your faith.
Mm-hmm.
Your faith. Mm-hmm. You know, I think a person can have those type of presence.
Exactly.
Around them.
Well, it depends on how much presence you put into the presence.
That's true.
You know, true. I mean,
but you can't
you
doubt
have to
either.
Want his presence.
Yes, and you can't doubt.
Right.
There's a lot of doubt.
And well, and you know what? The more you want his presence, mm-hmm, the more you seek after him. And I wrote a scripture down that I desperately wanted to read, and I can't find it. But Psalms 107. I didn't want to bring my whole Bible because it's big and heavy.
Psalms 107, 8 and 9.
But the Lord did something with me several years ago. You know, I've read the Bible all my life. My mother, God love her, she taught me to love the Bible. She taught me to read out of the Bible. And you know, you sometimes, there's sometimes in your life you see how much of it you can read. Well, that's not where it's at.
No.
And I got on Psalms 139, and the Holy Spirit said, read it again, and then read it again, and read it again,
right.
And I read it again. And Psalms 139 is my favorite chapter. Well, here just lately, I got on Psalms 107.
And I got that
and
for you right now.
I'm on a read it again, read it again, read it again.
You said verses 8 and 9?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfieth the longing soul, and he filleth the hungry soul with goodness.
That first part of it, oh, that men would praise the Lord, that's in that one small chapter 4 times.
Oh, wow.
4 times. And all 4 times it tells about something that they got in trouble. And then they called on God, mm-hmm, and then God fixed them. And after God fixes them, the psalmist says, oh, that men would praise the Lord for
Amen.
His goodness.
Amen.
And that's just, you know, that needs to be the theme of my life.
Yes.
Now, you know, God has just, he has just given me that. And,
I see it.
And, oh, that Barbara would praise the Lord for his goodness, you know. And, I don't praise him enough. I don't praise him enough. And I want to change that.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I want to change that. And I think, you know, we want to be a witness as Christians. What Christian doesn't want to be a witness?
True.
But what greater witness is there
than praising him?
Than praising God for what he has mm-hmm. already done.
Mm-hmm. And you know, what goes along with that is, I think, is some type of, not selfishness, but being shy. A lot mm-hmm. of people,
a lot of people are shy.
Or just praise the Lord and worry about what men think about it, you know. But
right.
Lord, I give you praise. I give you glory. And I thank
right.
you, you know. No matter who's listening, no matter right. where I am, I know people probably look at me sometimes like, what's wrong with her? She's always,
yeah.
you know what I'm saying? But I don't care about that.
But you know what? It reminds me of the scripture where, you know, the Lord said his word would not return void.
That's right.
And what we, things like that we do like that, it's not going to fall on deaf ears.
Mm-mm.
And even you may encounter scoffers. That's okay.
Yes.
That word, you know, that witness
yes.
is going to go with that little chatty
yes,
person,
it will.
You know.
Yes, it will.
And
yes, it will.
Even though they may say bad things about it, that's still going to speak to them.
Yes. Yes.
So, but, you know, God is just so good. I'm thankful that, you know, I was telling somebody the other day, I don't know, it might have been you, I don't know stage fright. I just don't.
Right.
That's just the way God made me. I was going to school. I should be teaching speech, communications, and
right.
English. But
right.
God evidently had other plans because I had an almost fatal car accident. About killed myself. And,
okay.
and I couldn't, you know, I didn't get to go back to school. But I don't question that, you know.
Oh, of course
I know
not.
God knows
You're
what
very
he's
very eloquent
doing.
As it is.
Oh.
In speech, really.
It's all to God be the glory. He
Amen.
Just, you know, it's just the way he made me. And I'm just very thankful for things that have happened in my life. But do we have time for another poem?
We have time for another poem. We have 5 minutes.
Okay. All right. This one is called Visions Anew.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of what we're, you know, that's what we need.
Yes, we
that's
do.
What we all need. Lord, take me to the mountaintop where you can show to me what things to do and what to stop. Lord, make me plainly see. I'm here alone, just you and me. I need to chat with you. I've closed my doors so I can be vulnerable, Lord, and true. And while we're here together, examine every room, check my motives, if whether my heart is still in tune. Then purge my mind of stuff that's there that may not please you, Lord. Take all the worries, the junk and cares, those things I can't afford. Replace my thoughts with visions anew. Denounce my fleshly will. Oh God, in me your spirit renew, your ways in me fulfill. Then take me from this mountaintop, put me on the battlefield, where hurting people come and drop, and stubborn hearts will yield. Give me ammunition and wisdom of your word, my feet shod in preparation, and faith to wield the sword.
That is so gifted. God has so gifted you with the words. I don't have them.
It's just all
Oh,
him.
You know what I wanted you to do?
No.
Tell the difference between a writer and a person who wants to write and can't.
Oh.
And can't.
Well,
told me.
You know, it's like anything else.
Right, right.
You know, a lot of us aspire to do great things.
Yes,
you know,
yes.
And it may not even be great. It's just these. I have seen people do things like on the computer, just really,
mm-hmm.
and you know, I'm like, huh. What did you do? Show me again. You know? Show
right,
me again.
Right.
But a writer, you know, and it seems glamorous to be a writer, and many people do sit down and they write,
mm-hmm.
and you know, write articles and stuff, and they're dealing with facts.
Right.
Okay.
Right, right.
But a writer, it just kind of has to be born in you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a talent. It's a gift.
Right.
More than a talent, it's a gift.
Mm-hmm.
Because I have written things And later, sometime later, maybe the next day, maybe a month later, I'll see this paper and I'll pick it up and I'll read it and say, what in the world? Down at the bottom, written by Barbara Ann Burney. I'm like, but it's just of God.
Okay.
You know, I mean, it's inspiration. When you're a writer,
right,
you're just inspired.
It's just there.
It's just there.
Wow.
And you don't necessarily have to wait for inspiration.
Right.
It's just there. And
because I know you told me, I told you I wrote a book, but I didn't finish. And you said you never finished that book. And I'm thinking, well, why not? I started it. You know,
right. But I believe writing is a calling.
Yes.
And I think it's so sad because there's a lot of people out there writing smut.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And stuff, dark stuff. Mm-hmm. And just because God puts a talent on you, you don't have to use it for God. And so
That's
many
true.
People don't.
That's true.
But God help me if I ever don't.
Right.
You know, just like when when I learned to play the piano, I mean, I just wanted to play so bad.
Right.
And I would dream I was playing.
And then we have to realize that gifts do come without repentance. So you can have a gift, and
right.
like you said, don't glorify God.
But
with
I gave it to God.
Amen.
I don't
That's
play.
Great.
I don't play secular
That's
music
great.
With
That's
my
great.
Talent. I just don't. It's for Him. I play to glorify Him.
Amen.
And that's very. In fact, just before I came here, I sat down and I don't know if I had some energy that I needed to just.
We are out of time, believe it or not.
Well, it's been good, Linda.
WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, Marion, Ohio, the Talking Place. For grandson